Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy Colts Week to all of you out there. We're going to be at Coco's eating a delicious crab cake, not far from Memorial Stadium, I might add. The Maryland Lottery puts on our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'll be giving away these scratch-offs. We had some lucky winners at Fadley's last week as well. We'll be at Coco's from 2 until 5 on Thursday in preparation for all things Colts this week. Shame we're not at Nacho Mama's. They still have Colts signs up there and all that stuff. Our friends at Window Nation also putting it on at 866-90-NATION. And our newest sponsor, Jiffy Lube. I'll be telling you more about those oil changes. You'll find them up at the website as we drive into Jiffy Lube MultiCare for an oil change in just minutes. We have some great sponsors, great stuff. Rasig is going to be with us on Thursday. I thought I had John Morgan joining us, but Max Weiss is going to ride shotgun for Baltimore Magazine as well. Speaking of magazines, this guy was a newspaper guy, a columnist guy. I like to say I make columnists off of columnists, like this guy out in Indianapolis. I've gotten to know him over the last couple of decades through Peyton Manning and Chuck Pagano and Jim Irsay and Pete Ward and all things Indianapolis. I return the Colts back to Baltimore where they once called it home. This is my belt buckle, Bob Kravitz. I got Colts belt buckle out for you. How are you, man? And how's that football team looking to come in here this week and try to do a little damage to the Ravens, man?
Well, I think I'm doing better than the football team. Now, they're coming off a win, a decisive win over Houston, where they played extraordinarily well. They lost Anthony Richardson to the concussion, and Gardner Minshew comes in and doesn't miss a beat. But this is not a good football team. I mean, they really are not. I think we found out just how bad Houston is. I think Houston and Indianapolis will be fighting it out for one of the top, two, three picks next year. Colts desperately want Marvin Harrison Jr., believe me. They're a really young team. We don't know the status of Anthony Richardson yet. We'll find out more hopefully today at practice when we talk to Shane Steichen. But he's in the protocol, and we'll just kind of go day by day.
Bob's been doing Indianapolis sports from back when, Jim Harbaugh was there, and even before that, I believe. When did you arrive on the scene?
No,
there?
I got there,
weren't you?
Yeah, I was in Denver. I got there in 2000, so I'm post Harbaugh. When I got there,
Manning had just gotten there, 99.
Manning had gotten there in 98. Okay. I got there in 2000, and clearly my arrival was more heralded than Peyton's.
Well, I mean, you sort of flew into this thing 16 years after the team moved and all that. We still have people here with tremendous angst, over all of that, right? And I feel it out in Cleveland with the Modell thing all the time. But just from a football perspective and where the franchise is there as far as being settled in, and it's the only thing y'all know out there in Indiana, and what's the real prospect with Jim there and the next thing? I mean, the Andrew Luck thing for that franchise was really like a devastating, difference-making kind of thing that they've fallen and they've really had a hard time getting up after that.
Yeah, I mean, it altered the trajectory of the franchise for many years. I mean, with Anthony Richardson starting the opener, that made 7 straight years where they started a new quarterback. They tried to band-aid this thing with the likes of Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz. They really thought Carson Wentz was going to be the dude. I mean, they really did. They thought he would be here for quite some time. Because
so did Philadelphia, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And so did Washington. So that didn't work out. And Carson's currently playing golf at my golf course down the street and working out quite a bit, trying to stay ready. But yeah, it changed the trajectory of the franchise. They got to the AFC Championship game, the Deflategate year. It looked like things were on solid ground. They were building towards something, and then he started getting hurt. He retired, and they have been wandering the desert ever since.
Lamar hit the streets back in the spring for a little while. You were one of the few people I reached to. Because it didn't feel like Miami or Tampa or Atlanta or Newark. Nobody was kicking the tire on him, right?
Nobody.
And fascinating after the sweepstakes for Deshaun Watson last year where teams shamed themselves, lost Matt Ryan, who, by the way, was pretty good on the broadcast the other day. We had him and Tiki Barber doing the game. The Colts and Lamar, and I talked to you about this. I think you were my only sort of callback then to say, really? Maybe? Whatever. And I thought, would the Ravens want to swap that out and have Anthony Richardson in here on a rookie deal? And would the Colts really want to go $52 million large into somebody like Lamar? The Colts went about it a different way, right? I mean, the Colts as an organization, striking the general manager, Irsay, got to be in on that, said, no, we're going to go the young quarterback.
Right.
The Ravens
right.
went that way and jettisoned Flacco, not knowing what Lamar was going to be. Nobody wanted Lamar once. Nobody wanted Lamar twice, and Lamar's 2-0 again.
Right, exactly. No, they look. I think they did their due diligence on the Lamar thing, but you know, I mean, and this really, it's almost collusive the way that the owners just sort of unilaterally decided that one of the best players in the league wasn't worth a guaranteed contract. You know, meanwhile, Deshaun is getting, you know, whatever he got, and it's all guaranteed. I just think it's the same thing with the Jonathan Taylor thing. I think Jim Irsay doesn't want to go to cocktail parties and get the side eye from the fellow owners for overpaying for Jonathan Taylor. I think the same situation existed with Lamar Jackson. They don't want to pay that big guaranteed money for, you know, even the top players. So I thought that Lamar was a really good option for them, but that's why I'm not the general manager. And Anthony's been really good. He hadn't played a lot, but he's been really good.
Well, let's talk about that, because I don't know if we're going to see the kid this week, and obviously protocol and all of that stuff. But for being bullish on a player as much as you can be through a training camp, from the minute he showed up, got off the bus back in April, right? I mean, there was a little bit of a love affair, not just with you, but with anybody that was watching practice and saying he might be a dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He very well might be. You know, the first couple of games or the first game, they had no running attack. So Jacksonville was playing two deep shell. Safeties were way back. He basically just dinked and dunked, but he looked pretty good in the process. And then he was having a breakout game in the first quarter against Houston, ran for two touchdowns, and then took that hit and got concussed. And that's the big issue. That's the big story here, as I'm sure it's been in Baltimore. You know, what do you do with a running quarterback or a quarterback who's capable of running in terms of him protecting himself? And I don't think Anthony quite figured out just yet how to protect himself from those big hits. As he was going in to the end zone the other day against Houston, he throttled down just a little bit as he approached the end zone, and he got walloped. So he's going to learn. He has learned. But, you know, he needs to be available, man. I mean, otherwise, you know, now Gardner Minshew's a hell of a backup. Believe me, I think they can still win games with Gardner Minshew, but this kid's the future, and he's got to take care of himself before anything else.
What do you make of the administration there and the changes? Because to your point, seven quarterbacks, but three head coaches now, maybe four head coaches. I mean, the Saturday experiment, I mean, stuff's been a little weird. It's been a little weird being out there covering a team for you.
Oh, last year was a complete clown show. Dude, I mean, Jim Irsay decides he doesn't want Carson Wentz anymore. And so they go out and get Matt, the remains of Matt Ryan. And then he decides in the middle of the season or early in the season, I should say, to bring in Jeff Saturday and say, well, I don't want somebody with experience. Because that brings fear, experience. And I'm like, Jim kind of lost his mind a little bit last year. He was very, very involved. Jim is usually a hands-on owner without being overly involved. Last year, for whatever reason, he got too involved and made moves that were not that Chris Ballard and Pete Ward and those guys were not on board with. They were not on board with the Jeff Saturday hiring, and for very good reason.
Well, Bob Kravitz is with us. The Colts are coming back to Baltimore, which makes me get. I had this out for Don McCafferty. The other McCafferty over at the Beaumont, who is the grandson of that McCafferty from the 71
Colts.
Right? Absolutely, man. We Baltimore people, we all stick together around here. And especially if you go over to Nacho Mama's, you'll find pieces of the goalpost and some of the remaining stuff that Scunny didn't steal from 33rd Street. So if it's Colts week here and the Ursay name being up and all that, but really Peyton Manning has been what the horseshoe's all about. You covered him from the beginning, sort of, kind of, and all the years. And the amount of star power he and his brother and this Monday Night Football thing and sort of the wackiness of it all. Does it shock you that Peyton wants to be in the media and hands-on?
A little bit. I thought that when he retired, he'd be looking for ownership or working in the front office of an NFL team. I am a little surprised he's gone the route he has, but I'm thrilled for him. And I think he's just enjoying the hell out of it. I mean,
he's going the fun route, right? Like, literally, when I look at it, it's like he doesn't look like he wants to own a team, and he's Peyton Manning, so maybe one day they would let him own a team or would like Bon Jovi or whatever, right? But in the meantime, he doesn't look like he wants to do anything serious. I mean, and it's like playing off of those TV commercials, and he has this brand that I hate the Colts, right? I hate everything about
it. But you love Peyton.
But you got to love Peyton Manning. How can you not love Peyton Manning?
Right, and he's – yeah, I loved him the other day. It was at halftime. Van Pelt had him on to talk about the Jets after Aaron Rodgers went down. He was asked, "What can the Jets do?" And he goes, "I don't know. I don't know if they can do anything with Zach Wilson." So no, he is having a great time. Every time I speak to him, he's got another project in the works. He's doing the quarterbacks thing. Now he needs some people to, agree to do it. But he's having a good old time. He's playing golf. He's got his family out in Denver, and life is good.
Yeah, every time I talk to Stokely, they're, hanging out and doing. Oh, yeah. Brandon always says the house that Peyton built is the house that he lives in out there. So Bob Kravitz is here. Because I couldn't find Stokely this week, I'm going to talk some Colts stuff here. You give the Colts no chance of winning this week in Baltimore?
No, not at all. I mean, no. Look, Gardner Minshew can make it competitive. I really believe that. They have a good defensive line. The offensive line seems to have found itself after giving up 60 sacks last year. But, they haven't given up any sacks in the first two games. I would suggest that's little streak is going to end against Baltimore.
So what are you doing? You've been a columnist. You've been on television. You've been all over your own Substack. Now, give everybody the word, because if anybody wants to know what's going on in Indiana, they gotta follow you, man.
Okay, well, you can read me and subscribe to me. It's cheap. At bobkravitz.substack.com, and it's a self-publishing app, platform, whatever, and basically I write what I want, when I want, how I want. It doesn't pay like The Athletic, I'll tell you, but if people want to come on and subscribe, or I occasionally put out free stuff. But if you're really into the Colts, for example, I write constantly about them. They're my number one subject, even when they're playing poorly. So, bobkravitz.substack.com. I'm also writing for Indianapolis Monthly magazine. So, staying busy.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got Max Weiss coming out from the magazine business. Do you have anything you want to say about journalism at this point? I've written at length in regard to my treatment from the teams, and the Orioles are back on top of the world here again, and the stadium's kind of half empty. The Ravens can't give their tickets away. Bob, I had a fascinating thing happen this week because, I would have been in Cincinnati. I was there for 25 years. Bengals won't let me in. I don't go to Cincinnati. Turns out the Kicks – the Baltimore Beatles basically had their farewell concert. So I had a chance to go and do other things than be at the Cincinnati Westin and getting a $7 coffee in the morning and walking across the bridge and eating the chili and being flatulent after that and whatever. But part of it for me is watching what these teams are doing in regard to having press conferences with nothing but team employees, that if the Colts wanted to hire you and make you their columnist, now you work for Jim. It looks like you're Bob, but you're really not Bob anymore. You're Bob Light because you have to be because you work for the team or you work for NFL.com or even if you work for ESPN. At any of these places, I see very, very few of us left. The independents, as Niedermeyer would say, up on the porch in Animal House.
I agree. And I think that columnists have taken it, have been victimized in some ways. I mean, in the old days, every newspaper had two strong columnists. It seemed like now you're lucky if you have one. And I think we've become so caught up in the analytics of it that we've forgotten what we're supposed to be doing. Everything, you know, it's not enough to write a good story anymore. Now it's got to sell. And that to me, that's problematic for me. You know, there were a lot of times where I wanted to cover a women's basketball game down at IU. They're a really good team. Nah, you know, it won't get us any numbers. Well, shit. I mean, excuse me.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's not what we do. That's not what we do. And so I think the fact that the business is struggling as it is, we've become too reliant on stuff that will bring eyeballs. And I realize that's the idea behind doing what we do. But every once in a while, I think you need to write a good story that maybe isn't going to bring a massive amount of subscriptions or eyeballs.
Well, the business is changing, obviously, and I got to go see Kicks, and I'm watching from the outside. The other part about this, Bob, and I wrote to Bisciotti, and I wrote to Harbaugh, and Eric DaCosta knows he's getting his steamer soon, too. But I would say this. The fact that you would criticize Peyton after a three-interception game that they lost to the Steelers on a Monday night, bad beat, whatever, losing Super Bowls, losing playoff games, criticism that you level fairly, that you then have to go and talk to Peyton. You have to be in the locker room. There's a part of the cowardly nature of them throwing me out that seems to me to be a little perverse after all these years, that I never had a problem writing about a player, a coach, the organization, because I've been doing it for three decades, as you have been doing it, with integrity, honesty, fairness, accountability, and showing up. That's really the weird part for me, is not being able to show face after I write, because I'm always proud of what I do.
Right. Yeah. No, the funny thing with Peyton, and not to change the subject, but, you know, when in 2011, I wrote that they needed to move on from Peyton and go to Andrew Luck, and he never held it against me. We've even talked about it. I was like, I'm surprised you still talk to me, you know, and he's always been always been available and talkative and a great interview, even though what I wrote probably wasn't real popular in the Manning household back in 2011. But I felt like, look, you didn't know if he could throw it from here to, you know, there. They owed him $28 million. You had Andrew Luck available with the first pick in the draft. To me, it was an absolute no-brainer. And on this, I completely agreed with Jim Irsay, which is not a normal thing. But I agree with Jim that it was time to move on. And a lot of people around here have never forgiven Jim for letting Peyton go. I thought it was the right move. But kind of getting back to what we were saying.
Well, so I mean, Peyton hold it against you was the greatest thing ever happened to him.
Never held it against me. Never. One time at the end of the year, I saw him. He said, hey, it's Andrew Luck's agent. So I said, what's 0% of 100 million? I mean, I'm not getting anything out of that. But, you know, I mean, look, there was an edge to it, but again, he never mentioned it. It never seemed to bother him. And I think it's because like you, we've been in these markets for a long time. We've said good things, we've said negative things, and I think they understand that that's our job and that we do it hopefully with a modicum of integrity.
Yeah, my letter to Bisciotti closed with the first thing that Art Modell ever said to me. Art Modell brought me into his office up at the top of the Signet Tower in downtown Baltimore. I don't think they barely had the name Ravens at that point. They were just trying to sell tickets. He had this carpet in his office, and I went in, and he was still doing well at that time. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Young man, never be afraid to criticize me. If all you do is praise me, they'll never believe a word you say."
I had Art in Cleveland. He was great. He was a guy who got too involved. Now he got way too involved in with the day to day stuff.
But that was the business. It was his only business then. 40 years ago was different.
Right. Absolutely. But yeah,
as opposed to Daniel Snyder.
Oh, that's another story.
Jim only has one business, right? Other than his autographs and the rock star stuff that he loves, right? That it's his passion and mental health awareness. Other than that, you know, the fact that the Colts are going to stink this year, and you know it, and he knows it, that bothers Jim, right? That bothers Jim a lot.
I think it does, but I think at the same time, he's thrilled that they're finally off the quarterback carousel. Now the big story here in Indy is, can this kid stay healthy? And it's weird because he's never had injury problems. He's 6'4", 244. He's a freaking tank. And yet he's been knocked out of both games that he's played in. So that's the big concern here in Indy is can a running quarterback stay healthy over the long term? And again, it's much like what you have in Baltimore with Lamar.
Bob, they gave the kid $200 million and $50 million guaranteed, and he hasn't played a game in December in 3 years, let alone February. So, but I say that out loud, they take my press pass. So Bob Kravitz is here. He's out on Substack. He's out in Indianapolis. They used to play here in Baltimore. There used to be a little barn over on 33rd Street. Bob, are you coming in for the game, or are you television?
No, I'm just building this Substack business up, and so I don't have the wherewithal to make that happen. But hopefully next year, the year after that, when we're all built up and we're making lots of cash, I'd love to come out to Baltimore and get me some crabs.
Well, I'll get you crab cake. You never pay for a crab cake in this town, Kravitz, I'll tell you that. Especially after you gave me that recommendation for that pizza joint in Indianapolis around the corner where Rick Majerus was on the wall, and they brought me a pizza as big as me. So you took good care of me in Indianapolis. And I missed the combines. I don't get to come in anymore for any of that.
Oh, man. Yeah, you got to go to Prime 47.
Yeah, after midnight. I know that's where all the deals get done. Yeah, Bob, take care of yourself. It's always good to have you. Talking some Manning, talking some Indianapolis, talking some Ursae Colts, as well as talking some Gardner Minshew this week. We're going to be at Coco's on Thursday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, as well as Jiffy Lube. We got new sponsors around here. Our 25th anniversary, the cupcake out in front, all brought to you by Curio Wellness and our friends at Far and Daughter. Having some cannabis education around here at Baltimore Positive, as well as some memories from the barn, and bringing Tony Siragusa and Jim Harbaugh and these old Colts out back in the late 90s in purple Barney outfits. But things turned out okay here. So number 24 in the 25 countdown, our purple live shows. You'll find all that and more. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive, even with Andy Mueller's new voice doing the liners.